All right, there we go. Woo! Waymaker, promise keeper, huh? Did I get the words right? Woo! That is who you are. We serve a good God, amen? We serve a miracle-working God. Promise keeper, light in the darkness, amen? My God, our God, that is who he is. Praise God. Thank you very much, worship team. Are you ready for the word? Some of you, you've had breakfast. Some of you have not breakfast. Are you ready to feed on the word of God? Yeah. Amen? We are about to do some spiritual eating. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Take your Bibles out. The scripture that we're going to be looking at is Matthew 7. Father, I just want to thank you. Because you are so good, you are so faithful. I thank you, Heavenly Father God, that your mercies, they are new every morning. And great is your faithfulness towards us, O God. Father, we did not deserve, O Father, your love that you have poured out upon us. But yet you see it fit, O God, to send your only begotten Son, O God. And your word says that you demonstrated your love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, enemies, O God, far apart from you, you send your Son. And so this morning, Father, we thank you, O God. We worship you. We thank you for drawing us into the light, O Heavenly Father, and removing the darkness from us. And Father, even as we are about to go into your word, O God, we pray, Heavenly Father God, that we will touch our hearts. Let your word not return to you void, but accomplish that which you have said it to accomplish. I surrender my will. I surrender everything to you, O God. Father, come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and move among us in a mighty way. Refresh us, O God. Revive us, O God. Renew us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the saints say, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 7. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 7, just give you a little brief background, is the last chapter of Jesus' teaching on the famous Sermon on the Mount. It is where we come into contact with what we all know as the Beatitudes. God listed the characteristics of those he called his own. And you know, as I read this, it's very interesting. Huh? Matthew 5, 3 and 12, it says, blessed. Look at your neighbor and say, blessed. Now, when you think about blessings and being blessed, what do you think about? Being happy. What does it mean to be blessed? Favor. Poured upon, God moving. Happy to be what? Happy and to be envied. That's a good one. You know, what do you think about? But here, Jesus is outlining the characteristics of those that belong to his kingdom. And he says, blessed are the poor. You know, blessed and poor, it's like an oxymoron, amen? When you think about blessing and you think about poor, you don't say it in the same line. But here in the kingdom, he said, blessed are those that are bankrupt in the spirit. You have nothing to offer God or his kingdom. But it says, blessed are the poor, for there is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn. Mourn. Now, wake up, everybody. Wait, mourn. Blessed are those that mourn. Come on, guys. Mourn. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Gentle, really? Those are the guys that, you know, we would think that get trampled upon. But blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Blessed are you when people insult you. Ay, ay, ay. Has anybody ever insulted you and you feel blessed? No? I'm not saying we should go practice. Have you ever somebody insult you and you feel blessed? You horrible-looking Christian. And you just feel, ah, oh, man, that's such a blessing. But here it says, blessed are you when you're insulted and they persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. It says, rejoice, be glad, for your reward is in heaven. Those that belong to God, we have our eyes focused on heavenly things. And this is where God wants us to adjust our eyes. And so Jesus here in Matthew, he talked about the Beatitudes. He continued to share on what it means to belong to his kingdom throughout chapter 5 and throughout chapter 6. And chapter 7, we're going to read from verses 1 to 12. And Jesus here begins to address specifically how we're to deal with one another. How Christians ought to deal with other Christians. How Christians also ought to deal with those on the outside. This is what God wants us. He kind of specifically began to address this issue here in Matthew 7, 1 to 12. And I read, and if you want a title for this sermon, you can call it Caring for Others. Amen? Caring for Others. We've been talking, Pastor Ralph has been teaching on community, what it means to be a community, what it means to be a people joined together for the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Matthew 7, 1 and 12. If you have your Bible, say amen. If you don't, say oh. Let's just listen to you so we can get you a Bible. Amen? All right. Okay, there's silence. Matthew 7, 1 and 12. It says, judge not that you be not judged. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your eye, your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eyes. Makes sense, right? Amen. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jesus speaking. Amen? Amen. It's not me. It's Jesus. Verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Verse 12. So whatever, repeat after me. Can we say this one together? Let's say it together. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophet. That is the summary of 39 books in the Old Testament. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, have you ever stood, verse 1, 7, chapter 7, verse 1 and 2 says, judge not, and you be not judged. Have you ever stood before a judge? Yeah, some of us have. Great. You know what? It happened to me in 2013. There I was in the courthouse in Hamilton, Ontario. A couple months, I had run a red light. Now, this is a true story. I'm not making it up. Now, what happened? I was driving. It was a cold day. you know, I saw the lights, it's green, and I was like, oh, I can make it. And I just, you know, pressed a little bit on the gas. Now I got to the intersection, well, not to the intersection. I was a little bit far back, let me tell the truth. And the light turned yellow, and I said, oh, maybe I can still make it. But then I start mashing brakes. And when I began to mash brakes, too late, I began to slide into the middle of the street. And of course, by then, the light was well red. And so I had no option. At least I couldn't back out. So I just, boom, just hit the gas and I went through the red light. Now, a ticket came to me. You know, it had those one of those lights that has cameras, right? So a ticket came to me. So I wanted the opportunity to defend myself. So I said, hey, man, I'm fighting this, you know. So my very first time in court, you know, so I'm like, I'm fighting this. So I got to court the day that was scheduled. And you know what? I felt very macho, you know, like I'm going to fight this, you know, I'm going to deal with this judge. And, you know, and first foremost, I met a persecutor. And the persecutor was like, hey, man, he gave me a good deal. He's like, no demerit points. You know, I was like, oh, okay. Back then, I didn't even know I had demerit points. But, hey, no demerit points. And then he went on to say, you know, this fine, I'm going to cut it by 75%. So I'm like, ah, really? He's like, yes, all you need to do is go up and say guilty. I'm saying, you got it. I'll definitely go. So I go before the judge. And so he reads my rights. And then he says, how do you plead? Man, let me tell you something. All the macho-ness just disappeared. When I hear that those words, how do you plead? I'm like, oh my, I felt so small. I felt so small. And I remember stammering, should I say guilty? Like in my head, like, should I say guilty? Because it's like dawn on me, like I had this moment, like, I am guilty. And I said, guilty. And then when I said guilty, he slapped the thing, guilty. And I'm like, oh my goodness gracious, what's gonna happen next? Right? Like, what's gonna happen next? And I just stood there. And so the guy said, oh, you can move. The persecutor was calling, okay, you can move. I said, okay. And I went to the side. I grabbed my stuff. And man, I boogie out of that place like it's nobody's business. I mean, I felt like I lost something. When that judge said guilty, I felt like I lost my dignity, like pride. Like, I felt like I just lost something. Something was gone. But as I was walking away from that court, I began to shake it off a little bit. You know, and I felt very, very free. Can I get an amen? See, the judge was given the authority to represent the law. And I broke the law. Thus, I stood before the judge, and the judge passed his judgment. Now, we as Christians have received the word of God. And when one of our own disobey the word of God, we should do many things. Many things. But we are not supposed to judge. Jesus says, Matthew 7:1-2, judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. To judge in this case means a harsh, destructive criticism. When we judge one another, we can be in danger of taking away a person's dignity and attach to them our judgment, sometimes without even knowing it. If we're honest, we do it all the time. When we look at others and attach harsh criticism to that person, we're judging them. He's lazy. She's crazy. They're biased. We're judging. When we judge one another, we kind of kill relationships. It's hard to create genuine relationships with a judgmental attitude. If I'm feeling like you are always judging me, I can't have a relationship with you. It's very difficult for me to have a relationship with you. And versa, if you're always judging me, you will feel like this guy is less than me. And people feel that. People sense that. That cannot be hidden. When we judge, we are saying that we are better than others. And we can also develop the habit of enjoying to pointing out people's failures. You know, it's if looking at others' flaws and failures makes you happy, if that's the talk around your dinner table, man, that's being judgmental. Praise God. The harsh standard, the Bible says, in which we criticize others will be the same standard by which God will hold us accountable. Furthermore, it says in James 4:12, it says, when we set ourselves, when we set ourselves in the place of a judge, we put ourselves in the position of God. James 4:12 says, there is only one lawgiver and judge, and he is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Who are you? Who am I? Who are we to judge our neighbor? It is simply not our place to judge. God desires that we love our neighbor and not judge them. Do you know when we don't judge, we extend our hands. We extend care to people. Amen? We extend care when we don't judge others. Now, with that being said, when handling each other, we do need to practice discernment. Can I get an amen? Discernment can be described as the process of determining God's desire in a situation or identifying the true nature of a thing, discerning whether it's good or whether it's evil. So we need to practice discernment. And Matthew 7:6 says, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Matthew 7:15 says, beware of what? False prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Matthew 7:21 to 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one that does the will of my Father who's in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do mighty works in your name? And he says, I do not know you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Brothers and sisters, discernment is important. You see, the reality of the church is this, and it's not my words, it is in the Bible. It's not that everyone who claims to be part of the covenant community are. You know, this is a tough teaching, eh? Amen? Are you with me? Are we up? If you need to get up, you know, feel free to stand up, shake, you know, and sit back down. But we have something, I have some things to say that I believe that God has placed on my heart for us. Amen? Here he gives us some examples. He says, there's dogs, there's pigs, there's false prophets, there's even those that operate in the spiritual gifts. In Matthew 13:24, it talks about wheat and tares. In Matthew 25:1 and 13, it talks about the foolish virgins versus the wise virgins. They are those in the church. They are here, but they are not here. And we need to practice discernment. Now, how do we practice this kind of discernment? Well, Jesus, not Dunstan, gives us two things to look for. Can I get an amen? One, it's fruit. Matthew 7:20, he says, you will recognize them by their fruit. Amen? Seed dies, you know, water it, plant it, it grows, leaves, and it was. It bears fruit. Amen? So you will recognize them by fruit. The second thing he says is, hinder people from entering the kingdom. In Matthew 23:13 says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut out the kingdom of heaven in people's face, and you need to even enter in. Judgment usually happens very quickly. And you see somebody act something, and it's quick, right? You know, you see somebody do something, instead of asking questions or judgment. Just happens. Just like that. Right? It's quick. The judge didn't even really ask me about my, hey man, so what happened on that? I just felt so small. Judgment was, before I knew it, it's very quick. But discernment usually takes time. And when it's discovered, because you have to wait till the fruit comes. You have to wait till you see the evidence. You have to wait. But when it's discovered, it's confronted and it's rebuked. Do you know that Jesus, right here, he rebuked the Pharisees. He called them hypocrites. But nevertheless, are we here this morning? Nevertheless, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, met with Jesus. And Jesus didn't throw him away. Jesus accepted Nicodemus, and they had a conversation. As a result, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, became a Christian. In practicing discernment, we need to rebuke as well as to do our diligence of offering restoration. Amen? Praise God. Today I'm teaching, I'm not preaching. Bishop. Amen? Praise God. All right, not being judgmental, and I would add, having good discernment is related to how we deal with our own hypocrisies. Can I get an amen? If you want to be not judgmental, deal with your hypocrisies. If you want to have a good sense of discernment, deal with your hypocrisies. Matthew 7:3-5, Jesus says, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eyes. Let me take the speck out of your eyes when there is a log in your own eye. You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eyes. Praise God. Isn't God's word good? I mean, like, it's good. Amen? Like it's good. It reveals. It reveals us. It helps us. It strengthens us. It encourages us. Amen. This word encourages me. Amen. That God says, listen, Dunstan, before you deal with the speck in your brother's eye, deal with the log that is in your own eye. Praise God. Like, praise God, so that I don't go off. You know what I'm saying? I'm busy talking to you like, hey man, you need the da 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 da, and there is a log. You know what a log? I can't see with a log in my eye. Your speck, I'm log. It's God's word is good. I'm sorry. I'm excited. I'm excited about this. You know, and the thing about God's word, he shows, he gives us many examples that we can see this playing out. And one of those examples is in 2 Samuel, chapter 11 and 12. Now here you have this guy, and we all know him, King David. Man, he saw Bathsheba taking a bath. He began to look, you know, he looked too long. And after he looked too long, he began to desire. And after he began to desire, he called a woman to his chambers, and he slept with a woman that is married to another man. Now, David, after finding out that the woman is pregnant, man, he calls the husband back from war, because the husband was at war. Calls him back and say, hey man, eat up, drink up, and then go sleep with your wife. But the guy was so godly. He's like, no, The covenant and my brothers are fighting. I'm not going to go sleep with my wife. And no. I need to go back to the war. And so much, the guy slept in front of the castle gates. He just didn't move. Then David tried to get him drunk. And the guy's like, no, even after drunk, he refused to go back home. So David did what? He orchestrated a plan to kill the guy. After the guy died, David took the woman and made her his wife. David did what was evil in God's sight, and he did not repent of his sin until a year later. A prophet, a brother in the Lord, amen? A brother in the Lord called Nathan came to him, and this is what happened. In 2 Samuel 12, the Lord sent Nathan. Nathan began with this big story. He's like, listen, there were two men in a certain city. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man had a very many flocks and herd, but the poor man only had one. One that he fed, he brought up, it grew up with his children. It eats with the guy. The guy loves this lamb. Now, this rich guy had some visitors. Now, instead of taking from his abundance, he went and took the one lamb from this man, slaughtered it, and gave it to his guests to eat. And he says, David, and then Nathan said, what do you think should happen to this guy? David got up and said, like, man, he should die. He got up. I said, the guy passionately got up. He should die. And then he should repay the guy fourfold. He should die. Now, Nathan said, listen, David, you that man. You are that man. And so, wow. So the man Nathan was talking about killed another man's lamb. Sheep. And what did David say? He must surely die. Talk about the speck in the brother's eye. Now, what was David's log? Well, he coveted another man's wife. He stole. He murdered. He committed adultery. He lied. He broke like 5 of the commandments, the Old Testament commandments. Right? He had a what? He had a log in his eye. Yet with righteous indignation, stood up and said, that guy who killed a lamb should die. We need to deal with our own hypocrisies. If we're going to have good judgment, if we're going to have good discernment, we need to deal with our own hypocrisies. It is not until David dealt with his own hypocrisies that he could walk in correct judgment and discernment before God. You know, when Nathan confronted him, the guy knelt down, and the Bible says that he repented. He repented. He's like, God, forgive me. What I did was wrong. He repented. And then he uttered these words. Brothers, hear me. I got excited when I read this. He says, create in Psalms 51, 10 and 11. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right or a steadfast spirit within me. He says, cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. You know, God is not just interested in forgiving our sins. God is interested in helping us overcome them. I mean, this prayer, David doesn't say, God, please forgive me of my sin, and then left. He says, create in me a clean heart. Oh, listen, the sin of bloodshed and idolatry is plaguing my heart. There is so much wickedness inside my heart. God, I can't handle it on my own. I need you to create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew in me a steadfast spirit, because I need a steadfast spirit. I need to I can't do this on my own. I waver. I wonder. I need you to help me to create in me a steadfast spirit. Help me to be razor focused. Help me, Lord. And he says, cast me not away from, for a whole year, he didn't experience the presence. Cast me not away from your presence, Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. I can't do it without your Spirit. I can't do it. He said, blessed, blessed are those who hungers and thirst. He can't do it. I can't do it, God. And he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Jesus, thank you. The joy of your salvation, to be clean, to not hold more the guilt of blood stain and the guilt of destroying a family, to be clean. He's like, restore to me the joy, because I don't have joy. Joy is lacking. I need joy. I'm stifling. I'm dying. There is no joy. I can't even smile. There's no joy. There is no joy. And uphold me with a willing spirit. You know, when you are far from, you feel like God does not care. Like when you're far from God, you feel God don't give a hoot about what you're going through. You feel like God is fed up with you. But David prayed. And he says, God, a willing spirit, I want you to uphold me with a willing spirit. Like when you look at me, you'll be willing, your goodness, your everything, it will be, you will willingly give. Who do we willingly give to? People that we love and care for. He's asking God, love me, God. And his sin led him to a lot of struggles. He was struggling to keep his heart clean, struggling to do the right thing. Couldn't feel the presence of God. There was no joy in intimacy, because there's lack of intimacy. Then he probably had an image in his head that God didn't care. No wonder he was so judgmental and was unable to practice discernment for a guy killing a lamb. But yet he sought help. And he understood that only God can help. He understood that only God can help him. And you see, this is very important. David, man, this guy is amazing. You know, like, he's broken, he's messed up, but he went on to say something. He says, then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will return to you. What do you think David will be telling transgressors? Brothers, sisters, what do you think David will be telling transgressors? Man, you know, I'm the king. You know, God made me king. You know, like, God is good. You know, does he chuck prosperity in their face? What can David tell transgressors to cause them to stop sinning and turn to God? I think it may go something like this. Listen, man, I was a murderer. And I was an adulterer. I murdered a man and I took his wife. But God had mercy on me. And God restored me. God restored me. God restored me. See, David understood something, that sinners who sin or live in sin, they're not happy. I don't know about you, but I'm happy with my sin. I'm not happy. I don't know if you're happy with, if you're happy with sin, then hey man, something may be off. We can come up, we lead you into a prayer and, you know, we set you straight because God is here. Amen. David understood that sinners who sin are not happy. The result of sin is same across the board. The same struggles he faced, they will face. Have you ever seen a joyful murderer? No, I actually Googled. I was so interested because I said, okay, hey, joyful murderer. You know? You don't see a joyful murderer. You see somebody heavy. You don't see joy. You see heavy. You see confusion. You see pain. You see struggle. You don't see joy. So if a joyful murderer comes and shares joy, if I was a murderer, I would want it. If an adulterer come and share and is joyful, I would, as an adulterer, if I'm an adulterer, I would want that. I would want that. You see, that's what makes this thing so attractive. Many times as believers, we've gone through so much, but we keep it. We don't say a thing. You know, we've overcome some really tough battles, and we don't say a thing. Nobody knows. Where the Bible says, by the word of your testimony, you'll overcome the devil. You don't know the life that needs to hear the stuff that God has taken you through. Amen. Because what God has put in you is to build the brethren up. What God has put in each and every one of us is to build each other up. Period. That's why he placed it there. Today I encourage you. Huh? What about tomorrow? You encourage me? Huh? Anybody? Tips. We encourage one another. That's what we need to do. That's the beauty of the gospel. You know, I need to learn a lot. We all need to learn a lot. God has given us one another. David just didn't stop there. He went on and wrote 75 different psalms. So he just continued. He continued to share. He continued to tell people about God, about the ways of God. He didn't stop. He just continued and continued and continued until he died. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, in Matthew, I'm going to wrap up now, 7:7-12. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. God wants to give you whatever you need for good judgment and discernment. He wants to give us whatever we need. Amen. That is the God that we serve. Whatever we need to deal with our own hypocrisies, God is willing. He says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock. And the door will be open. You know, for many of us, we're caught in a loop, a cycle. We do the same thing every single day. The same thing. We have the same triggers. We have the same actions. And we get the same rewards. Every single day. Does any of that include anything that I'm saying here? You know, in verse 12 of this Matthew 7, Jesus says, whatsoever you would like you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. What is it that you like? What is it that you want? What is it that is in your heart? What is your burden? God says, listen, do it to others. It's the golden rule. Do it to others. And for many of us, that may take us stepping back, re-evaluating the cycle that is our life, and beginning to make changes. Amen? And begin to make what? Changes. Changes. Amen? We need to make changes. If I am going to enjoy you and you are going to enjoy me, or look at your brethren across, if we're going to enjoy each other, if we are going to not be judgmental, if we are going to practice discernment, if I'm going to do for you what I would like done for me, then we have to change. Amen? We got to look at our week. We got to look at our day. And we have to change. That's what God has called us to do. Amen? It's not about coming here every Sunday and saying hi. Amen? We got to have coffee, we have a meal, call somebody, say hello, encourage somebody today, pray for somebody that you've not prayed before. It can be simple things. Even if you say, hey, 5 minutes, I'm just going to say a quick prayer for our church. Oh, do you know how that can just revolutionize and bring something into your cycle that is so life-giving? 1 5-minute prayer. Because you still could. Father, think about it. For some of us, we never even think about Grand Valley Christian Center until Sunday. Serious. Don't! And so if for 5 minutes we kneel down and say, Father, I thank you for this family that I have. I thank you, God, because you have put something in me for this family. And you've put something in that family for me. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help me discover it. Ay, 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 ay. You see, what happened to David when he prayed? Do you know God answered? God says, ask, and it will be given. Right? He said, seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. So God is serious about this. Amen? If right now you ask God something, God hears you. Amen? For us that believe, he hears. And he will answer. And God, being God, the Bible says that he does above and beyond anything we can think or imagine. What God can do in a 5-minute prayer would blow your mind. Your mind can't even imagine it. Brothers and sisters, we need to change. And I pray that when we leave this place today, that we will look at our weekly schedules. You know what I'm saying? You know, the other day I got a text from my good friend Toyin. Toyin is I've been texting back and forth and stuff like that. You know, just encouraging Toyin, and we talk, we have coffee, whatnot. But brother, when you text me, that was encouraging. You know, a text. You know, in fact, that day I was kind of feeling a little bit down. But just this, hey, man, how are you doing? Kind of, you know, balance you out. Like, hey, yeah. You know, I say, hey, man, I'm a pastor. You know, got to be encouraged. And helps me go and do the things I need to get done. Do you get me? The things that God has placed in us is to build each other. So as we think about community, as we look to bring change, my prayer is that we will do it. I believe we can. I believe we have some awesome people in this house. I do. Some deep hearts, some loving hearts, great gifts, talents, and the love is there. And I just pray that this week, let's make change happen. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Let's just rise to our feet. I'm going to call the worship team. Now, if you clap, clap for Jesus. Amen? Let's clap for Jesus. He is good. He is faithful. He is loving. He is merciful. He is good. His word is good. And we should be excited every day about it. I'm just going to, as the worship team pray, if you want us to pray with you, if there's something that just stuck out to you, and you're just like, man, you know what, Pastor? I need prayer. You know, I've been falling short in this area. And I pray God will help me change a bit of my schedule and you know, add some prayer, add something different that's going to benefit us as a family. Amen. And if that's you, just come up, Pastor Ralph, myself. We have some elders here. We lay our hands, we pray with you. We love you.